Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, it's 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us. Our play-by-play call of the day, Mookie Betts.
Ball is hit in the air, deep to right field. Going back is Rickard. He looks up. It's gone. A home run. The third home run of the game for Mookie Betts.
And, Tim Neverett with the call, by the way, on the Red Sox radio network. And, three home runs last night. I will say that the Red Sox have a series of young hitters that are really, really good. Really good. They're outstanding. I mean, they're young hitters. Man. Really good young hitters. Really good. Swihart. Bogarts. Betts. Jackie Bradley Jr. has been unbelievably good. And I am the guy, by the way, that repeatedly said, Jackie Bradley Jr., I don't know. Really? I don't know. I think when Cole Hamels was available a year ago, I think I was the one that said, take Jackie Bradley off my hands, please. Oh, bozo. I don't think I got that one right. Thank goodness somebody in the Red Sox organization was exponentially smarter than I was about it. Oh, my goodness. He's been really good. Really good. So, I got to give him credit. Give credit where credit is due. Jackie Bradley Jr., a 29-game hitting streak. Now Bogart's working like a 24-game hitting streak. Again, credit where credit is due. Yeah, I mean, you got to do it. I mean, impressive. We talk about all the young players in organizations. Well, guess what? There's a young player in an organization that's really, really good. So, yeah. All right. Our number 800-795-9565. You can jump right in. We'd love to hear from you. Love to hear from you. The NBA Finals will get underway. We got baseball going on. Dick Girardi's going to join us on the show next week about the Belmont as well. I forgot to mention that one. Kimberly Jones and the NFL coming up tomorrow. I think Kim's on at, 4:06? Something like that.
You are correct.
I would refer to her as an old friend, but there is no way in the planet I would refer to Kim as old. So I will say, how about long time?
You're originally going to shoot for today, but Jets and Giants busy with OTAs and tomorrow. A lot more convenient for the schedule. So, yep.
Oh no, I completely understand that. Sure. That's fine. Oh, that's perfectly fine. And it'll be great to have her on. We haven't had her on the show. And I texted her about maybe a month ago, and of course she was here for the Penn State Pro Day. So we'll get a chance to talk to her about that. Obviously with the Jets drafting Christian Hackenberg, we'll talk about that. There's a lot of stuff to get into with her.
So how many years was she the Penn State beat reporter for the Center Daily Times? Is that her first full-time giggly after graduating from Penn State?
Yeah, pretty much. And then I think she went from there to the Newark Star-Ledger and immediately got involved with the New York Giants. I mean, that was, that was big that she had an opportunity to do that. And then she was with Yes Network for a long time. She was at Yes Network for a long time when it came to working for the Yankees. So it's a little different, which I'll get into tomorrow with her, about, you know, you're working for a team. Essentially, you're working for the club. And what does, you know, and now you're going back, you're working for the NFL Network. Now, obviously, in some ways, you're working for the league, some ways, but not all. And just about the differences between them. I think that'll be important to talk to her about. You know, beyond her obvious impressions of the National Football League. I mean, let's face it, you know, you got to get into that with her because she has so much information at her fingertips. So we'll talk to her about that. But that's we got a lot to talk to her about coming up. Very, very. It'll be great to have her on because we haven't had her on before. And then we have the U.S. Open coming up. We'll be there in just a couple weeks.
Wakeman chomping at the bit.
Huh?
She is chopping at the bit to get to Oakmont.
Oh, Wakeman is. Oh, yeah. I bet she is.
Spent her holiday weekend with her folks down in West Virginia. She was taking golf selfies with her mom on the golf cart. That was sweet.
Oh, well, I think that's pretty cool. That's
great. She had this little flashback before and after. She posted a picture 2 years ago with her and her mom on the golf cart together, and then a shot from a couple of days ago. I thought that was really nice.
Yeah, both of her parents play golf. So, and I think that's obviously really neat.
Neither one of them looked like they aged a bit, too.
Oh, that's great. Well, I wonder if her parents are going up for the Open. They're down in West Virginia, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. 1-800-795-9565. Jump in. We'd love to hear from you. Talk about what you want to talk about today. I did bring up briefly the gymnastics situation here. It's been profiled in the Washington Post. It's been profiled in People magazine. And I honestly don't know enough about it except what I read. There is a fine line. The one thing there is today in coaching that is always important to remember. There is a fine line, and there's more information. And athletes are, you know, despite what they'll say to you, athletes are a little different today than they were back in the day. And you do have now sports psychologists, for example, around for them to go to because the psychology of sports has become more important than ever. And things that were done years ago you probably can't do today. Now, I'm not saying that happened in this incident. I don't know what happened in this. But I am saying overall, because allegations were also brought up with women's hockey, too, from former players with Josh Bramwein. Again, same situation. I don't know the players at all. I don't know the student athletes at all that have made the allegations, so I don't know them at all. So I don't have much of a perspective there. I've known Josh for a long time. And as you heard Kenny Albert yesterday. Kenny obviously mentioned to Ben Boma, who's the spotter and statistician for Doc Emmerich, who is Kenny's spotter and statistician when they work together. Well, I know Ben really well. Well, you know, Ben goes back as a teammate of Josh Brandwein. So I go back to that era with them. I know them from that point of view. Have I been to a women's hockey practice to tell you how everything's conducted? No. Have I been to a women's gymnastics practice to tell you how it's conducted? No. I'll give you one instance, though, where there was something mentioned about what did you, I think it was the quote was in People magazine, what did you guys do, eat the entire break? That is not a foreign sentence in gymnastics, and that is not a foreign sentence following break of any kind in sports. The number of times I've heard coaches, I don't care whether it's Joe, Bill, James, Patrick, Bruce, Dick Harder, Jerry, Ed, say to the players before they went on break, like, look, have a great time. Look, don't overeat. Keep yourself in shape. Yeah, I've heard that so many times in my lifetime. Now, those are practices I've been at where that type of topic was brought up. Okay. But other than that, I can't really comment too much on this one way or the other because, you know, obviously they're looking into it. But I can't. I know what you've read. How about that? So, Sean, it's the best I can do on it. Because I don't know. I'm not around it enough to know. Pro or con. I know I personally like the Thompsons, and I know I personally like Josh Brandwein, you know, because I know how they've treated me over the years and vice versa. So I'll trust that instinct, and then we'll see how it plays out. Now, I don't care whether it's here or anyplace else. You always want to make sure, this is just as a general statement, as you know, and I'm just using this as a backdrop to say it, but you want your student athletes working really, really hard. You want to push them and get as much as you can out of them. But you also want to make sure that it's done in such a way where all you're doing is getting the most out of them and you're not doing any damage because they don't deserve that. They're trying to balance books. They're trying to balance social life. They're trying to balance being a student athlete. They're trying to improve in the classroom, improve in the gym or the field. And you want to give them every tool possible to do that. But you also want to push. Did I watch every single practice during the course of a preseason where, for example, Joe Paterno would, you know, get to about two weeks in, they make a few mistakes here and there, and he'd scream out how lousy they were, and he threw them all out of practice. Now, was that a psychological ploy by the head football coach? Of course it was. You'd be amazed how the next practice they all came back and, you know, I'm talking, usually it was a morning practice. It was a two-a-day. And, you know, you'd be amazed how the afternoon practice had a little more bounce and some zip to it. Now, that was in part for two reasons. Number one, because he demanded it of them. And number two, because he cut practice so short in the morning, he did get more out of them because they had their legs underneath them. He knew what he was doing. But he told them they were all lousy. Get out of here. You all stink. You got to think about what you're doing and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's all part of it. And, I mean, I don't want, you know, I've always seen that. Yeah, I go back to when Dick Harter rolled the ball out before a game, the day of a game against Iowa State. Down in, where were we? We were in Jacksonville. In fact, ironically, we were in Jacksonville, Florida. And he did that. He rolled the ball, put them in two lines, rolled the ball out. Whoever got the loose ball got to be out of the drill. Then, the next drill they did, that's the day of the game, the next drill they did was the take a charge drill, where the other 14 guys lined up and ran through one guy, boom, next guy up, all 15, 14 guys ran through and take a charge. And those players hated it. They hated it. Now, did they win the game that night? Yep, they did. They did win the game that night. So it doesn't mean that every tactic is correct, and it doesn't mean that winning the game means the tactic's correct either. But everybody's looking for something. And every, you know, and the one thing that every coach has to realize, and this goes for managers, this goes for middle management, whatever. You always have to understand that everybody on your staff is different in their own way, and they react differently. Some react to being pushed hard. Others react and get their neck bowed when it comes to criticism. Some don't take criticism well, and it backfires on you. And that happens all the time. So you really do have to treat everybody differently. It's not quite like the Jerry Kramer line when it came to Vince Lombardi, who said, quote, he treats us all the same. Like dogs. Yet those guys love Lombardi. They loved him. I don't know. And again, I can't tell you pro. I do not know. I cannot tell you one way or the other. But the story's there. And if you want to read in People magazine, you can do that. We will come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
About 80 degrees out, sunny skies, beautiful day out there. Summer's hit us a bit early, which is nice to get out and enjoy yourself. Probably a lot of Little League games around the area coming up tonight. Go out, take it in, enjoy your Little League game. Maybe you want to go out and play a round of golf. Maybe you're going over to the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club, which I've had the privilege of playing a number of times. You know, hit them straight. We're just here talking sports. We've got our thanks to Kenny Albert, who was on the show yesterday. We've got Kimberly Jones from the NFL Network coming up on tomorrow's show. Coaches versus Cancer golf tournament is going to take place at the Penn State golf courses on Friday. The reception's tomorrow night, then Friday's the tournament. We're going to have some from that on Friday as well. I think we're going to get Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, on as well on Friday. Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, on the business of sports. We're going to get into it with him next week. I think we're going to have him on Thursday. U.S. Open golf tournament, we're going to broadcast out there, which we're really looking forward to, obviously, at Oakmont. I remember covering the 94 U.S. Open, which was the day O.J. went for the ride. I was there then. And the course is different today than it was then. You want to know why? And this was like the same way it was when the last time they played, so they haven't changed it since. They cut down all the trees, you know. All the trees were cut down at Oakmont. And the famous church pews, that bunker, I think it's along, I want to say six. Nothing like it. The U.S. Open. So what the heck, we'll take the show there.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, 47th annual Summer Special Olympic Games taking place tomorrow through Saturday here. I better know it goes through Saturday because I'm emceeing the closing ceremonies on Saturday, so I better know when it ends. And they're going to have 50 Nittany Lions student athletes volunteering. And looking forward to it very much. So that is all going to be taking place. I think I'm emceeing the VIP reception tomorrow night at Medler. Then I'll go over to Coaches versus Cancer when I'm done with that. Then I'll flip back to and then be in the tournament on Friday, and then on Saturday the closing ceremony will take place, which will be at the Apollo Commons Beaver Quad area. And I'll be emceeing the closing ceremonies for that. It's unbelievable. I know. And it's kind of difficult to go from this. I'm going to transition to the bozo of the day. But last night I was out on the golf course, Sean. And the Special Olympians were out on the course in front of me. And all I did was I just skipped the holes that they were working on, the third hole, and they were working on the fifth hole. So I just skipped those holes. But I stopped at each one and talked to them about how much fun the game is and how much the game means to them. And they love this. This is an incredible time to shine. There's certain elements of Special Olympics. I'll give you one that takes it far beyond the confidence and the competition and the coaching and the love that's out there. All extremely important elements. But they have a program in Special Olympics that is entitled the Global Messenger Program. And in the Global Messenger Program, and I have guest lectured at this, where it's all about public speaking, because they feel obviously that in groups, who best represents Special Olympics than the athletes themselves? And so this Global Messenger Program has allowed them to identify those who express themselves really well and to really take any of the nervous energy out of public speaking, where they can do it with confidence. And I think it's
that is something that is very special. When I do the VIP reception tomorrow night, I will be co-emceeing with one of the Special Olympic athletes. And we've Amanda and I have worked on this the last 2 years together. She is outstanding. And it does so much for her self-esteem, her confidence, and she's impressive. Matt Prozek is another one. And now Matt is from Center County. And Matt is a natural comedian. He loves being funny, and he is funny. But then when it comes time to be serious, to deliver a serious message, he does. So Special Olympics is more than, hey, wow, look, they're playing softball. Hey, great, they're playing golf. Hey, fabulous, let's go over to McCoy Auditorium and take in the swimming and aquatics events. It's much more than that. Or, you know, or obviously one of the prime ones is track. It's much more than that. And the volunteers, they usually need about 2,000 volunteers. They try to go one-to-one volunteer to athlete. And they turn out in droves here to do this. And I was the honorary chairman of this back in 2001, which is one of the like really touching things that's ever happened in my life. And the when you see what it is done for the athletes, the effort they put in, how much it means to them to put in their best effort, the medals that they win, sportsmanship, self-esteem, and also what it does for the families and the parents. They're succeeding. They're achieving goals. And we all have different goals in our lives. And we're all at different stages in our lives. And everything is relative. And it reminds you the power of effort, the power of love, and the power of overcoming the odds. It really is a great 3 days that puts a lot of things into perspective. And I mentioned the Global Messenger part. That's just an extension of this. It's more than just, great, I ran 100 meters fast. It's an overall program that tries to enhance lives. And that'll be here tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday. Time now for the sports bozo of the day, Marlon Byrd. Now, he beats out Nick Saban and Jim Harbaugh, which we'll get into in a moment. But second PED suspension, 162 games. My son Dan texted me. You know how funny he is. And this kind of hurts to say this, the last game I went to at Fenway Park was actually in the 100th year of Fenway Park. It was 2012. I haven't been to Fenway Park in 4 years. And the Red Sox in 2012 were not good. And in fact, the next year they won the World Series. 2012, they weren't good. And Marlon Byrd was signed to be the center fielder. So Dan and I are sitting there. They're playing the Orioles. And we're watching this game. And so Dan sent me this tag. Marlon Byrd was awful that day. He was. He struck out 3 times, and he made this throw, which was so bad. The two of us looked at each other like, what is this? I mean, it was the part of the entire game that stuck out to us more than anything else. We're like, what is this? So he sent me a text. Dad, Marlon Byrd busted for PEDs. I can safely say he wasn't taking them the day we saw him take the worst at-bat I've ever seen in person.
And then I texted him back and said, "So remember that bad throw he made as well? It was bad, right?" It was horrible. It's one of the worst games I ever saw a major league player play, ever. And he didn't make a single error in the game. It's one of the worst games I ever saw a major league player play. I mean, Dan and I looked at each other like, "What is this?" All right, now let's get into Nick Saban and Jim Harbaugh. Harbaugh seems to tweet as often as Donald Trump. I want to set this up on satellite cams. Satellite cams, if you're going to have satellite camps, you have to be there for them. And I have, James Franklin gave me a list of all the camps that they're involved in this month. If you're going to have satellite camps, you have to be there as part of it. You do. No getting around it. You have to pair up with as many schools as possible, as many locations as possible. And if it's going to be there, then you've got to go all out and go full bore. I can tell you what the list that James gave me is extensive, and they will be, believe me, out and about at many satellite camps over this next month. With that said, the reason that I would like to see satellite... The other plus is for some athletes, the travel to a satellite camp is easier because it's more regionalized. So those are the pluses. You got to be there. It's a part of it. You see a lot of players. You get some personal evaluations. For the players, travel-wise, it's really great, so forth. Okay, so we've laid that out. Now let's flip it to the other side. I really want to actually see student athletes get on this campus, where they get on this campus and they see the facilities, they see how first class it is, they get to see the setting of the campus, the town, everything goes with it, that gives them a real feel for what it's like to be here. I'd rather see them on this campus than at a satellite camp. That's just a preference. The other part, too, is that coaches have to travel so much. At some point, and not just recruiting is the lifeblood of everything. You've got to throw your heart and soul in it. You've got to be able to put countless hours into it. But also during the course of a year, you do need a break. And part of that break is being home with your family. So there are pros and cons on satellite camps. If they exist, you got to be there. And for example, and like I said, James gave me the list. I'm not going to run it all down for you now as to where they are and what dates they're there. But he gave me the June and July calendars. You should see all the days on the June and July calendars that he printed out for me as to where they are. And so you have to do it. That now brings us to Nick Saban and Jim Harbaugh. If Nick Saban has put out his stance on hurry up offenses and now on satellite camps. Well, when it came to satellite camps, he's obviously against it. And then Jim Harbaugh mocks him on it. So, and we know, and Jim Harbaugh is going to do a satellite camp in Australia, as you know.
So Tuesday afternoon, yesterday, Nick Saban went on a lengthy rant against satellite camps. And Saban mentioned Harbaugh directly in his statement, but he was fairly diplomatic about it, too. So this is where it's from. I think it's from the, I want to say, is it the Atlanta Journal-Constitution? Maybe. I'm not blaming Jim Harbaugh. I'm not saying anything about him, Saban said. I'm just saying it's bad for college football. Jim Harbaugh can do whatever he wants to do. I'm not saying anything bad about him if he thinks that's what's best. There needs to be somebody that looks out for what's best for the game, not what's best for the Big Ten or what's best for the SEC or what's best for Jim Harbaugh, but what's best for the game of college football, the integrity of the game, the coaches, the players, and the people that play it. That's bigger than all of this. All right. Harbaugh then responds, amazing to me, Alabama broke NCAA rules and how their HC is lecturing us on the possibility of rules being broken at camps. Truly amazing. Now, if you're, as you know, one of the Alabama coaches had to be fired over an incident. And I got Saban then fired back basically like, I don't care what he, I don't care if he says anything about me. But this is where it is. There are pros and cons to this. If there's going to be satellite camps, you've got to throw your heart and soul into being there for it. Because those are the rules of the game. That brief period of time where they took away satellite camps, I was like, okay, good. And the reason I thought it was good, well, again, I think it's really good if you can regionalize so it's easier for the prospective student athletes to get to these things. That does help. But boy, on the other side, I'd really love to see him be on campus. I think, you know, getting people on this campus makes a big difference. I also think it makes a big difference. You know, coaching's a grind to begin with. You know, Joe Moorhead made a really good point when somebody asked him about whether Trace McSorley or Tommy Stevens would have the ability to change plays at the line of scrimmage. That's usually a question that comes up all the time. It's always a good question, but it's a question that comes up a lot about the ability of the coaches to change plays. And he mentioned that there's some latitude. He said, but I sit in my office, he says, 80 to 90 hours a week going through all these scenarios and watching their tape and going through more scenarios. And he says, McSorley and Stevens put in 20 hours a week. He says, and that includes weightlifting. He says, so this isn't a democracy. He said, run what I tell you. But as for Saban, he ranted about the camps. He mentioned it. He said, that's his business. I don't really care what he thinks. So tweet Saban told ESPN, I say what I think is best for college football, and I say what I think is best for the players and the kids. As I said, it's not about him or anybody else. There's one thing about, you know, these camps. You talk about going down into areas. For example, I know Penn State went down into Georgia, and it netted them Blake Gilligan, the punter, in the end. But the regionalization is a plus. But, boy, it's really, really great to get them on your own campus. And I don't think there's any advantage or disadvantage, SEC to Big Ten. I know a lot of people think they feel like at this moment there might be more talent in the South. But there's also plenty of talent up here, too. And you just really would like to get them into the, I tell you, a couple areas where Penn State can kind of kick it up a gear. Penn State had great success in the Tidewater area for years in recruiting. And that's important to keep that pipeline open. They also had some success for several years in the Carolinas recruiting, especially South Carolina. And, of course, you know the staff is tireless when it comes to this. The one area I just don't want it to see it become, as you know, I'm not crazy about the AAU system, but it's a system you have to live by. It's what you have. College basketball coaches have to recruit going to as many AAU deals as possible. They have to. It's not something I like, and I don't really think it's great for the game. And my only a big concern I have about the satellite camp thing is are we going in that AAU direction by, with satellite camps in college football as well? I think it's a question that's worthy of debate. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I think satellite camps, I mean, if the rule is there, you've got to, you have to do it. I mean, yeah, I don't think you have any chance. You have no choice. I mean, you have to be able to compete in this thing. For example, I may not be crazy about the AAU system in basketball, but guess what? If I'm coaching, I'm going to as many AAU events as possible because you can't let philosophy get in the way of what you need to do. I mean, what I prefer... A different system? Yeah, I'd prefer a different system. And satellite camps are available. They're legal. And I think that you have no choice but to go this route. Now, again, would I prefer, hey, bring them up on a camp, get them on this campus, let them see the facilities, let them be, you know, let the coaches really be around them. And also, just as important, let them be around your current players. Big pluses when they're around your current players. I mean, do I prefer that? Of course I do. But it's interesting, Jim Harbaugh is this lightning rod, and the second he perceives any little crack that is against him, he jumps in right away. He's not going to let anything stick to him. If there's going to be something remotely said about him, he's going to jump in right away and react to it. That's his style, and you know, it's a style I don't blame him for.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.